Our scripture reading for today is in Psalm 139. I'm actually going to be reading a little more of the psalm that is written in your bulletin, but it will be just an excerpt of Psalm 139. O Lord, you have searched me and know me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You understand my thought from afar. You scrutinize my path and my lying down, and are intimately acquainted with all my ways. Even before there is a word on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all. You have enclosed me behind and before, and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is too high. I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the dawn, if I dwell in the remotest part of the sea, even there your hand will lead me, and your right hand will lay hold of me. If I say, surely the darkness will overwhelm me, and the light around me will be night, even the darkness is not too dark for you, and the night is as bright as the day. Darkness and light are alike to you. For you formed my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance. And in your book were all written the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there were none of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would outnumber the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts. And see if there be any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the everlasting path. Amen. Everybody say hello to Alexis. All right, so Alexis has a question for you that she didn't even know she has a question for you. So I want a show of hands. How many of you are sculptors? Like you like to sculpt things? Seriously? How many of you are too chicken to say that you are sculptors and like to sculpt things because you don't know what's in this bucket right here? Yeah, probably. Okay, so looks like you're being abandoned by this entire congregation. So, it's up to you, okay? So, actually, do you want to recruit your mother? Okay. Well, she can stay right there. So, I'm going to give one to you. I think she would rather have a yellow one or a blue one?
Probably blue.
A blue one. Okay. Is that right? You'd rather have a blue one? Okay. All right. She's highly committed to the idea. You can see. Okay. So, you can give her a blue one. Anybody else want to, now that you see I've got yellow and blue? Okay, all right, all right. Do you want to, which one, yellow or blue?
Blue.
Blue, okay, all right. You're not off the hook. You're getting some blue. Okay, you're getting some? Yeah, yellow or blue?
Blue.
Blue is very, very popular. Have you noticed this?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to give you this one and this one, okay? All right, there you go. And you can take your yellow one, and then once you give that to them, you can go ahead and have a seat, okay? Thank you. Thank you for volunteering. I'm looking at the rest of yous.
All right. So during the course of our talk today, I would love for you all to sculpt the one who is next to you or that is in your mind, your family member. All right, that's what you are going to be doing then. A sculptor. Yeah, how many of you are like, oh, I'm so glad I didn't raise my hand just then. Yes, yes, sculpting. All right. When we began our service today, we began the service with a passage of Scripture. How many of you had heard something similar to that passage before about being formed in the potter's hand? I love that imagery. The imagery of a potter at his wheel forming a lump of clay. And what I love about the imagery is that somewhere along the line, you know, something happens, something goes awry with that lump. Did you catch that? Something goes awry with that lump of clay, and the potter's like, that's okay. And just kind of starts over again and reshapes it and makes it into something beautiful. The other thing that struck me as I thought about this particular passage, the earlier one, was that the tool that was used, who can tell me what tools were used in the shaping of that clay? Wheel, yeah, the potter's wheel. And anything else? Hands, yeah, those are the two things that kind of get mentioned, right? I've seen artists at their work, and they use different tools, you know, tools that, like brushes and chisels and hammers and all kinds of things. Hammer and chisel, best used for? Yeah, stone, marble, that kind of thing. Brush, paint, best used for? Yeah, canvas, yeah. You get the idea. Different tools, right? Different tools for different things. I love the idea of clay because it just does involve hands on a wheel. Does life ever feel dizzy to you? Feel like you're that lump of clay on the wheel. And I love the fact that there are different tools for different things. You know, we enter into the first day of school, and this was kind of on my mind while I was thinking about it. Every year when my kids would come back from school, we go out to a celebratory dinner. We're down to just Calvin now. Like I say, my other guys are kind of launched and gone. I mean, I still ask Taylor how his first day was, but he's not going to come down from school and go out to a celebratory dinner with Dad. You know, he's out with friends, kind of doing his thing. So I'm down to just Calvin. And so Calvin chose Blaze Pizza. How many of you have been to Blaze Pizza? Basically like pizza and Subway that all came together. It's an awesome thing. And so he loves it. And I sat down and I said, walk me through your first day. And he would walk me through his classes. It's like, well, I've got biology. Ugh, I think that's going to be okay. I got geometry. That looks horrible. I got drama, which I really love. Yeah, how many of you can relate to that experience of going, it's not just one kind of umbrella day, right? Drama, awesome. We love drama class. Geometry, ugh, that's terrible. He's my kid. There's a reason I'm not a mathematician. This is not a mathematician's outfit. I don't like numbers. I don't like math. How many of you, math is your favorite class? Okay. Y'all, crazy people. Right there. You're the people I didn't understand in high school. I didn't get you all. But I hung out with you a lot when I really needed you. Okay, man. Yeah, I was way into history. How many of you, history was your favorite class? History. Okay. How many of you, science your favorite class in school? Okay, yes, I believe that. How many of you, gym? Gym class, okay, gym class, your favorite in school? Yeah, that was not my favorite. Like, I could always keep up. For me, the problem was, I was still back in the day where you wore gym shorts. Little tiny polyester gym shorts. I had these legs in high school. It was not a good look. No, gym class was no fun. We all have different things and different approaches. And often when I hear from students as they come back, some things are really great, some things aren't so great, because not every kid is the same. We all say different things for different reasons because we're all made of different stuff. Some of us are marble. Some of us are paint. Some of us are clay. And it takes different tools for different people in different times. You know, it's not just school people, right? It's not just school kids. We have that same challenge sometimes. How many of you, and be honest, have ever ended up in a job that you're just like, I just feel frustrated every day because I don't know what's going on? Okay, like there's a few honest people here. We do that, and there are expectations that people have for us, and we're just not meeting those expectations. It doesn't make us bad stuff. It's not like you get bad clay or bad marble or anything like that. It's just we're different. Maybe we're stone, or maybe we're wood, or maybe we're music. It just requires something different. The writer of the song tells us that God, since God is the one that made us, knows the stuff we are made out of and has the ability to know what it takes to shape us, to guide us. Now, God is not this arbitrary sculptor. It is a team effort. But to be able to know that somebody knows us and guides us makes a difference. How many of you have been bossed around or attempted to be guided by somebody who did not know you at all? Yes. That's a frustrating experience, isn't it? A very frustrating experience. Because you're like, you don't know me, you don't know how I tick, you don't know anything about my situation, but yet you are judging me and telling me what to do. How many of you have been guided? Maybe something you didn't want to do, but you know that person really knew what you needed at the time. How many of you have had that experience? Somebody you know knew you and gave you advice and could guide you. That's the best experience in the world. Michelangelo, the famous painter, sculptor, poet. Did you know Michelangelo was a poet as well? Wrote sonnets? I didn't until this week. So I'm like 3 days old in knowing that Michelangelo wrote anything. Like, you know him for the paintings, you know him for the sculptures. Truly a Renaissance man. He said this about sculpting. He said, "The sculpture is already complete within the marble block before I start my work. It is already there. I just have to chisel away the superfluous material." Now, I'm not an artist. I don't believe that. Like, I don't look at a rock and go, "Oh, I know what's inside of there. I'm going to get all the extra rock stuff off so that this masterpiece is inside." You know what will happen if I take a hammer and chisel to a rock? Smaller rocks. That's what's going to happen. Nothing's going to get released. It's just going to be divided into different sections. Michelangelo was a skilled artist that could look at a piece and could catch a vision for what that piece could be. And he looked at this piece and said, "I can see what's happening," and was able to look at the material and formulate something beautiful. I believe that Michelangelo was being honest here, not just being humble, but he could look at something and utilize the material itself, the sculpture itself, the marble itself, and bring apart something beautiful. It was a relationship that Michelangelo established with the marble to bring out something beautiful. The psalmist seems to be saying some of the same stuff. He's saying that there is a person that is inside of me when I stand before God. I know the person that's inside of me. And as I enter into this relationship with the one who knows me and who makes me, we begin a relationship of shaping. Now, like that clay on the wheel, sometimes we get misshapen. Some of you have been misshapen in your life. A harsh word, or a rough experience, maybe from your family, or maybe from a job, maybe school experiences, friends, have misshapen you. But the potter in the story says, "I can see the misshape, but I still see the beauty because God enters in, not with a hammer and a chisel, not with a trash can saying this is a wasted piece of clay, but the hands of love to help us remove those things that wounded us." When we come to God, with that kind of trust, the kind of trust that we call faith. We know that when we let God partner with us in creation, God knows exactly what it is that we need, knows what tools they could use that won't harm us, and God is incredibly patient and willing to take the time to help us grow. You know, beautiful sculptures aren't done in a few days. Beautiful sculptures and works of art, Sistine chapels and masterpieces, are done over months, done over years. Because sometimes something beautiful takes time. Sometimes, as we heard today, school is hard. Right? School is hard. I can see them coming for you. School can be hard. And I want us as a community of faith to remember our young ones in school. Because it is going to be hard. It's going to be lonely. They're going to hit classes that don't make any kind of sense. They're going to run into people that don't love them or know them. And it's going to be difficult. I believe they're going to thrive, but it's going to be hard. Let's surround our students on a regular basis. Please, I invite you to do one of the easiest things in the world. When you see our students on a Sunday or you see them, say, how is it going? That's not that hard, right? Let's all say that together. Hey, how's it going? Easy, right? You all got that. So easy to make a relationship with somebody. But I will say this. It's not just school that's hard. Work is hard, right? Family and friends can be hard. And it's especially hard if people don't know what we are and what we are made of. But know that you always have the God who knows you and who loves you and is so happy to partner with you in the shaping of you. All right, you ready to find out about these sculptures? All right, so I'm gonna turn this on and come on over. Hopefully I don't get a bunch of feedback. Is this working? Okay, all right. So let's start over here. Would you stand and show me what you have to do? Okay, just try it. Who disagrees that it is not very good?
You have to look closely, the faces are awful.
It's great. Well done. Well done. Well, close and play.
Oh, I'm coming.
Don't worry. All right. How do you do right here? I like this mobile church thing.
Joe took it and was walking around.
Oh, Joe, you had it. You were marked too. It just evolved. Okay. We're going to go.
This is Dan.
I'm going to call. That's very, very good.
I just did a simplistic.
And who is that?
A collective.
That's your whole family. In one. That's genius level stuff. Okay, round of applause for that one. Very talented in their own way. Yeah, in their own way. Anything else?
Family.
Yeah. They made people that they loved, right? Did they all look the same?
No.
No, and some of it is based on different talents, but different visions. Like, you did the heart and the head. You had the composite of your entire family. That was great. You just had a ball of love for the most part, right? Right. And yours... visual injury. Like, I love that. But What I love about that is that these weren't abstract. They were real. They were all very, very different. And they all represented somebody that you love. Now, let me ask you this follow-up question. Well, I won't even bring the mic over to you. What did you think about while you were sculpting?
I was trying to listen to you while I was sculpting, so I wasn't really thinking. Huh. I knew when you gave the assignment that I wanted to make the girls feel loved. That's
okay. Whoa. Okay, you catch that? Wanted to make the girls feel loved. What was in your mind? What were you visualizing? Who were you thinking about?
I was thinking about you and Joe.
Okay, all right. I'm just going to stop with thinking about Joe. All right, what are you thinking about Joe?
I was trying to listen, but also get the general shape of a whole sentence, so I didn't.
Real in conflict right there. And I know you're thinking about your
team.
Okay, and hold it all together at the same time. Yes. I want to leave you with that encouragement. That notice that all of our sculptors, that they were thinking about the one that they loved. When they were involved, they were thinking about what that person needed. They were thinking about how that person would be shaped. And it was not an aggressive kind of thing. I want this person to look exactly right, right? Clearly not, right? Yeah, clearly not. But there was so much thought about love. What a beautiful thing to know that you are in the hands of someone who not only loves you, but thinks about you and knows you. And will not give up, even with a few dings and scratches or arms that fall off. Will not give up. Amen.